This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Up next, an update on the case involving Simon Momo, as he will officially be able to continue staying in Malaysia.
Yeah, so yesterday, the Shah Alam High Court allowed Nigerian national Simon Momo's judicial review application against the Immigration Department's order to detain and deport him. Now, this is a fairly long story, but the immigration authorities had actually revoked his spousal visa, which is valid until October of this year, on the grounds that he was convicted of drunk driving. And this would have meant that he would have been deported. He would have to leave his Malaysian wife, May Lo, and their two daughters. Since then, he has had to pay 100 ringgit a month to renew a special immigration pass to remain in Malaysia. So in this application, which again the Shah Alam High Court allowed, Judge Shahna Sulaiman ruled that a traffic offence is not a justification for deportation and that the immigration DG only has the power to remove a non-citizen specifically for offences under the Immigration Act.
Now, the background for this, of course, and this was a pretty highly publicised incident last year. Simon was arrested on the 15th of March at a roadblock in Cheras on the suspicion of drink driving and was sentenced to 1 day in jail and a 12,000 ringgit fine. He pled guilty, paid the fine, served his 1 day sentence, but then was subsequently detained under Section 35 of the Immigration Act and was transferred to a depot, and Simon ended up being detained for 40 days. And on the 23rd of April, the High Court then ordered his release following a successful habeas corpus application that challenged this unlawful detention. However, as you explained earlier, Lynn, this didn't mean that his immigration woes were made any easier. So this is cautious good news at this point. And so we will very shortly be joined by Simon himself to get an update on his situation. But do share your thoughts. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us is Simon Momo. Simon, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So it's been a winding year-long battle. Talk to us about what this whole ordeal has been like for you.
Actually, I would say the whole ordeal has really been very bad. And it wasn't really easy for me and my family, especially my young family. You know, it wasn't something to say this is very good that happened. I was just trying to manage the situation and try to be strong because I knew what I'm going into, it wouldn't be very easy. So I was still having the doubt that am I going to win or not, or something going to happen, you know. Even before I got released from SEMI, I was still having these same thoughts. But I was everything came like a surprise to me. I wouldn't lie to you. Everything came like a surprise to me. Like, is this the same country that I've been living for 13 years? You know, most articles on the newspapers always talk that I've stayed in this country for 10 years. Actually, I've stayed in this country for 13 years. So it hasn't been that easy meeting with different people, different kind of culture, different kind of food mixing up. But at the same time, I was able to settle down very well, get to meet with my beautiful wife, and we started building up a family. So I don't know what really happened. I just felt that it hasn't been very well for all of us since this ordeal.
And how do you feel now that the ruling has been made?
I feel very good. I feel very good. It's a very good step forward. Even when I called, immediately I got the ruling from the judge. I broke down. The lady saw me. I broke down with my wife. The both of us, we broke down. We couldn't believe it, you know, because we always hold each other's hand when we sitting down when each time they are having the court session. So it was good. But just that I get to feel that maybe I don't belong. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Like, maybe I don't belong. Mm. That was just what I was feeling like. Maybe I don't belong. But so far, I think I have been able to manage myself, the situation. Spoke with my dad immediately. And when he heard the news, he was so happy. Spoke to my siblings. They were so happy. And my friends, the football club I play with, Tiger FC Football Club, they were happy. And, you know, it was being shared everywhere. I don't think something like this has really happened in this country. But at the same time, it's not just for me. It's for everyone to understand that at times we shouldn't just be taking laws into our hands. You know, we should go through the normal process and things will be fine.
You mentioned your wife earlier. I was curious how your daughters reacted to the news.
My daughters, they reacted to the news somehow because they are still very young, so they cannot be able to process what have really happened to me. So with time, they'll be able to process it as they grow up. For my wife, she felt very good. She was very happy. You know, I had to bring her to Matan somewhere where there is air conditioned because it was too sunny. So other than that, she was good. We were all okay and we were happy about the decision.
So prior to this, the possibility of deportation was kind of always there. What did you feel about having your visa revoked, despite, you know, having already paid the fine and serving the jail time?
Okay, just to put this straight to you, I knew about my cancellation of my visa when I was in Seminyan, okay? I was not allowed, no access throughout. I was in Kajan, there was no access. It all happened like I was just supposed to spend a day and leave at about maybe 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. So I told my wife, go pick the kids from the school and come here to pick me up. That was all. And before I knew, I was bundled into a truck. And I told them, no, I'm supposed to go. The other three Chinese guys, they were with me. They gave them their papers and they left. And I was the only one bringing for screening. I've been living in this country before the COVID. So why are you bringing me that you're saying that you're bringing me for COVID test? This is what I don't understand. And they didn't mention it. Actually, they didn't mention it. It was when I got to Kajan, then things started unraveling to me. And I told them at Kajan that, bro, I'm not supposed to be here. And he said something that really baffled me. He said, my friend, this is Malaysia. So he was trying to let me understand that you are here, and whatever happens here, you just have to bear the consequences. You don't need to even question it. So, but I was like, bro, I didn't tell you I was going to Japan and I was dropped here in Malaysia. I don't understand what you're talking about, that this is Malaysia. I've been living here for a very long time. And he just ignored me and gave me materials. It was when I was wearing the uniform that I knew that really I'm in prison. So maybe after 3 days, they called, we went for the test. And I stayed in Kajan until I was talking to people, and some people were even telling me that, oh, no, no, you have paper, don't worry. Immigration is the best. Once you get to the immigration and the immigration sees that you have paper, definitely they're going to let you go. That was what I thought. And that was my hope, something that was even making me feel. But when I got to the immigration, it was a different ballgame. They asked me, that was even the day they brought me to the immigration that they called my wife, and my wife knew that I was in Kajan before. Now I am now in Semeni. So it was not really that easy for us. So the first time I saw my wife was after 30 days. So when I saw her, I broke down. I first saw my lawyer, Harasam. I saw him. Verma, He was very good. He spoke to me properly, and he made me understand that this is not an easy case. So I don't know if there was a different law that was placed to change things, because it all happened at the CMCU, and I was rushing. I told them at the court, yes, I pleaded guilty, but I told them at the court that, please, I'm sorry, I was rushing back home because it was CMCU and school is already in session. I need to pick my kids so that they can go to school in the morning, because I used to drop them in school. If I don't drop them, the mom will drop them. So this was just how it is. I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know what to say. I don't want to go off your question, but there are so much that I can be able to, that I can talk about.
So since having your spousal visa revoked, what was the process for you to be able to stay in the country while waiting for the court's decision?
They made an arrangement. First of all, when I was released, they told me that I should, they gave me an option that I should go back home and I would not be blacklisted and I can come back and I will start afresh. Actually, my visa was supposed to end in 2022, October. And from, I was arrested 15th of March, and by April of that same month, that same year, I was already 5 years in my marriage. So I was supposed to apply for my residential. I've already started doing the papers. So this all really made me a little bit like mentally disturbed. March to April, why did this just have to happen? So they said, okay, we'll be giving you one month prior to the case gets over. I said, okay. So I used to go to the immigration office. I get 1 month, since after my release, I get 1 month. I pay 100 ringgit. Sometimes they will say because it has stayed for, that is the extension, it's like 2 months, you should not pay. No need for you to pay. And I go back home. But they still give me, yes, they still give me the pass to move around, even if I don't pay. So I think since I came out, it has not been much of a problem. Yeah. It's just been like, it's not a long-term visa, but they've been giving me one month, which I pay for, and sometimes I don't pay, and I move around with it.
Simon, what kind of support have you and your family received from the public?
To be very candid with you, we've received a lot of beautiful support from the public, from people we don't even know at all. Especially when I came back, you know, when you are inside, you know, don't know what is happening. You know, you don't know what is happening. You only know sometimes if maybe they say the prayer, then you know it is like 7 p.m., especially when it's getting dark, but you cannot tell what's the time. So it wasn't that, I wouldn't say it wasn't that really easy. So we were able to try our best anyway.
Simon, we have about a minute left. How do you think your outcome with this may help other foreign nationals in the future?
The win is not for me alone. It will definitely help everyone. It's an eye-opener to so many to know that some things do happen and you don't expect it to happen, but at that particular time, you need to be very focused. So I think this would be a very good reminder even to most foreigners to understand that even when you have a problem, don't plead guilty. Don't plead guilty, because immediately you plead guilty, you have a lot of stress to go through. Because I was called after some time in Semeyin that they said, I was Satu Satu Anam, and they said, Babas. And I came out. They gave me a paper to sign. I checked it. It was on Malayu. And I signed it, gave it back to the guy. And before I knew, he said they should bring me back. And I was like, what did this guy just did? So I didn't really know about all this. Even my visa being revoked, I didn't know. I was only told by an immigration officer when they called me that my lawyer wants to see me. It was the immigration officer that told me that your visa has been canceled. And I said, why? What's the connection? There is no connection. Let us be very frank about this. There is no connection between this and this. So, well, I think everyone just need to be strong in situations like this. And the truth is that we should not go against the law of the land. The land has its law. It has, there are different consequences when you do things that are not proper with the law. The country is not a soft country, but the country is a very peaceful country. And I love this country. I'm happy that I have a family in this country, and I will still continue to give my support as much as I can in making sure that the country grew to the extent that even my kids and their generation will enjoy the country properly.
Simon, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Simon Momo, who had his spousal visa revoked last year, sharing his journey with us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.